If you have your Bible, let's look at 2 Chronicles chapter 20 just for a moment. 2 Chronicles chapter 20. Short account of the King Jehoshaphat. And in verse 5, him standing in the congregation of Judah and Jerusalem in the house of the Lord before the new court. And he said, O Lord God of our fathers, art not thou God in heaven, and rulest not thou over all the kingdoms of the heathen? And in thine hand is there not power and might, so that none is able to withstand thee? Watch verse 7. Art not thou our God, who didst drive out the inhabitants of this land before thy people Israel, and gavest it to the seed of Abraham, thy friend, forever? There's something about the character of Abraham that is mentioned over and over again throughout the Bible. And I'm going to give you the passages and the phrases that the Bible uses to emphasize this character. In Genesis chapter 15, verse 6, the Bible speaks about Abraham's faith. The Bible says that Abraham believed God, and God recognized it and accounted it for righteousness. Now, that principle of Abraham's faith being counted for righteousness is found three different times in the New Testament and repeated from this passage in Genesis 15, verse 6, in fact. In Romans chapter 4, verse 3, it talks about this passage and says, Abraham, whose faith was counted for righteousness, who believed in God. It's repeated in Galatians chapter 3, verse 6. This same principle about Abraham's faith being accredited or counted for righteousness and God recognizing that. In James 2, verse 23, it's interesting that this, again, faith of Abraham is mentioned, that Abraham believed God and it was accounted unto him for righteousness' sake. God saw the faith of Abraham. In fact, in the book of Romans in chapter 4, it talks about how that faith is imputed or calculated. Well, it can't be an idle or dead faith if it's being calculated and imputed. If God can, again, take note of something, how can that be just mental assent or an idle or dead faith? Well, it can't be. And I want you to see that. Again, Abraham's faith is recognized over and over again and specifically referred to in these three different contexts in the New Testament from Genesis 15, 6. But back to 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verse 7, where Jehoshaphat refers to Abraham as the friend of God. Now that's unique in the Bible. In fact, Abraham is referred to as the friend of God three times in the Bible. Here in 2 Chronicles 20, verse 7, the first time you'll recognize it. And then in Isaiah 41, verse 6, Isaiah refers to Abraham, thy friend forever. And then back to James, the third time in James 2, verse 23, once again emphasizing the faith of Abraham, the friend of God. I want to note this chapter just for a moment because I want to do a short contrast with something we read in John 6 after we note James 2 here. Notice James 2 starting in verse 14. Talking about faith. Remember Abraham highlighted as one who believed in God, three times noted in the New Testament, three times in the Bible, the friend of God. Watch these passages and think about faith and your faith and if you're comparative to Abraham. What doth it profit, my brethren, though a man say he hath faith and have not works? Can faith save him? If a brother or sister be naked or destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, depart in peace, be ye warmed and filled, notwithstanding ye give not them, or them not those things which are needful to the body, which what doth it profit? Even so faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. Yea, a man may say, thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. Thou believest that there is one God, thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble, but wilt thou know, O vain man? Now think about Abraham here, and think about what the writer here, James, is saying. Wilt thou know, O vain man? Someone's vain here. Someone's empty in their faith. Someone does a lot of talking, but no action. They like to talk, but they don't do. That's what people do all the time. I don't understand that. Get to work. And think about Abraham here. I'm trying to not preach, but I'm getting after it. Look at verse 20. But wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? Now here it is. Was not Abraham, our father, justified by works when he had offered Isaac, his son, upon the altar? Seest thou how faith wrought with his works, and by works was faith made perfect? In verse 23, and the scripture was fulfilled, which saith, Abraham believed God. Genesis 15:6, Romans 4:3, Galatians 3:6. This character, Abraham, needs to be studied and understood. And then look at what it says. And it was imputed unto him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. That's a wonderful text when you think about who you are, and how we can look to Abraham and say, hey, I need to be like Abraham. I need to have a working, diligent faith that God recognizes so I can be a friend of God. But not if I'm a vain man who just does a lot of talking and doesn't do anything. Now look at John chapter 6 for just a moment. And I think that this context is outstanding when you consider what we're talking about relative to Abraham's faith. And if you'll look at verse 22, this is the context where Jesus feeds the thousands miraculously, and he refers to himself as the bread of life in verse 35. He is the bread of life which came down from heaven, and he fed these individuals. This is also the context where he walks on the Sea of Galilee after they had fed the thousands, after he had miraculously fed them. And the disciples here, it doesn't record Peter's account going after him or getting out of the boat, but this is the same context. In verse 22 of John 6, it says, the day following these events, the people which stood on the other side of the sea, those people that had been fed miraculously, the fish and the bread, they were looking for Jesus. Verse 23 says, howbeit there came other boats from Tiberias nigh unto the place where they did eat bread, after that the Lord had given thanks. When the people therefore saw that Jesus was not there, neither his disciples, they also took shipping and came to Capernaum seeking for Jesus. All right, great idea, right? Let's go seek for Jesus. But watch what happens here. When they had found him on the other side of the sea, they said unto him, Rabbi, when camest thou hither? And Jesus says something here. He looks at them and says, truly, truly, or verily, verily, I say unto you, you do not seek me because you saw the miracles, but because you did eat of the loaves and were filled. And then he says something in verse 27. Labor not for the meat which perisheth, but for that meat which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you. For him hath God the Father sealed. And so they say, okay, okay, okay. Well, what shall we do that we might work the works of God? You see that question? Jesus got their attention. He said, you're not following me for the bread of life. You're following me for the physical bread because your belly's got full and you want some more. You're coming to church because you want your belly full of physical things. Someone was talking about the candlelight service that Johnson Street's going to have. That's emotional. That's going to fill the flesh of man. That won't satisfy the soul of man. That's not working the works of God. That's working the flesh of man. And people do it all the time. And Jesus rebukes that here principally. But look at verse 29. And think about Abraham. And think about your own faith. Jesus answered and said unto them, "This is the work of God." Just like Abraham. He was working, wasn't he? And what does he say? "This is the work of God, that ye believe on him in whom he hath sent." So many people don't understand what we're in the business of. We're in the business of creating faith. Faith is the work of God. Not for the physical food. I remember back in Malvern, Arkansas, we had just moved there. We went to work preaching for the congregation. And the first potluck we had, and I was a part of, we preached for about 60, 75 people, might have been 80. And we had a potluck that Sunday morning. And at that potluck, you know, like it normally is, you'll get probably 25, 30, 40 people will stay for the potluck. A lot of people leave. Well, at Malvern, Arkansas, we had like 120, 150 people show up. But half of that wasn't even at services. They didn't come to worship service. They came for the potluck. And so, remember, I'm new, and so I'm asking questions. "Hey, did I miss you this morning? How are you? Where'd you come from?" "Oh, that's my auntie over there, and this is my uncle, and this is my cousin." "Oh, okay." The next thing you know, I hear the ladies going, "We don't have enough food. Someone go buy some chicken." Kentucky Fried Chicken was down the road, and that was the routine. Because for potlucks, people came for the physical food, but they didn't come for the spiritual food. Well, O'Brien, you know, O'Brien here. It didn't take me long to figure that out, and I kind of started asking questions. Asking questions will do one or two things for you. It'll educate you or get you in trouble. Both of them are okay if you're asking the right questions, but nonetheless, I got in trouble with some of the people, but a lot of those people quit coming back. Because I say, "If not come to the worship services, then why are you coming to our potlucks? This is a time for us to enjoy our company and our fellowship, because we've worshiped God. You're not serving God for the spiritual food. You're serving God for the physical. And you're not even serving God. That's the problem." So, when you preach the truth, it doesn't always satisfy the flesh of man, does it? But you see, preaching the truth will satisfy the soul of man. And that's the work of God. That's the work of God. And so perhaps someone's here tonight and they know exactly what they need to do. They need to repent of their sins and confess Christ before men publicly. Because the Bible says that Jesus will confess you before the Father if you'll confess Him. Before mankind, that I believe that Jesus is the Son of the living God. That's the work of God. Doing that and being immersed, baptized for the remission of your sins, obedient. An obedient faith. That'll save your soul. Because the Bible says, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved." And the person that believes in God will do that. And that's the work of God. And like Abraham was a friend of God, as Jesus said, "You are my friends if you do what I say, if you keep my commandments." You see, we can be God's friend too, but we have to do what He says, right? We have to believe in Him. So check your motives and make sure we're not serving God for the physical things. Make sure we're serving God for the spiritual things, the eternal things. Heaven is our home. We walk by faith, not by sight. And so if there's anyone here that needs to repent of their sins, a member of the congregation, a member of the church, and we could pray for you or help you, the invitation of the Lord is for you as well. If we can help you in any way, why don't you let us know as together we stand and we sing. Won't you come?